Thank you, Steve. Yeah, although, Steve, it's only two verses, doesn't mean it's going to be a short sermon. So hope you're prepared to go, what is it? Lunchtime, my lunchtime is usually around 1. So, yes. Well, if you haven't noticed, we finished 1 Samuel, and it was good study. Now we're going to move into the book of John, the Gospel of John, and it's an exciting book. I've always enjoyed the perspective that the Lord gave John in his life, and it's just wonderful. So I think it'll be a really powerful study for all of us, and I look forward to that. Hope you do too. Picture yourselves walking into a restaurant. A restaurant that you've probably never been before, but you heard a lot about. And you go in there, and it's a great atmosphere. The waiter shows you to your seat, and your stomach is grumbling. You're hungry. You're just ready and stuff. And he gives you the menu, and you start reading the menu, and you're just going, oh, wow, look at that. You know, there's pork chops and applesauce, and there's... And there's steak, and there's fish. Oh, the halibut, and the garlic potatoes, and the pumpkin pie. All that. So you're just salivating, right? You're just reading it, and oh, this is great. And then you go, okay. And then you just kind of go, okay. Close it up, and you start getting up, and then the waiter comes and goes, hey, how you doing? You know, have you found anything that you like yet? You kind of go, oh, yeah, there's tons in here. Like, it's so interesting and wonderful. And then the waiter, you know, kind of explains a little bit more about the food, you know, how it's cooked and, you know, the different type of taste. You know, he really gets into his details. He even shares some of his favorite dishes. And then you're just sitting there, you know, you have to put your napkin up because your mouth is just... You know, I don't know, saliva all over the place, you know, but like an old bulldog. And so it just, and going, wow, this is great. And then, you know, you just go, oh, thank you very much. Oh, yeah. And you just get up and you leave the restaurant. And the waiter's just sitting going, what happened there? You know, and what happened there is this, you forgot what you came in there for. You came in there to get into the cuisine, to sample it, to taste it, to see if it's really good or not. You know, you want to really know, you know, taste it, get it, feel, get it, get the experience of it all, you know, all this food. So, you know, but you forgot. And the thing is, a lot of people do the same thing with Jesus. See, you know, who goes into a restaurant just to read the menu and listen to the waiter? I'm not mentioning names, but I have suspicions here. But hello, I think you need some help. All right? And so, and who comes into the Word of God or into a fellowship, a life group or a small group of some kind or a church or whatever, and they come in there just to read and to listen? Many people do. Then they close the menu and they, or they close the Bible and they just walk off. But they haven't really tasted to see if he is good. And so they miss out. See, there's a word from the Lord in Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. All right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then it goes on from there. It says, blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And so you go, oh, yeah, that's a pretty important passage, and that says a lot to our, you know, to who we are, how we are to come to the Lord and sit at his feet and to learn and to grow. But if you don't sit, if you don't open your heart, if you don't humble yourself, if you don't take that courageous step of going to that group or that church, then you're never going to have that chance to really taste and see that the Lord is good. See, John wrote this book, not by his own strength and his own intellect, but it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember how the Holy Spirit carries people through all these, and he, you know, the scripture is what? It's God-breathed, right? It's not, we are used in our perspective, our the way we see things, and God will use that to write these. That's why in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have their own perspectives. They saw things.
So I don't know if that's going to come back or not, but we'll see. But so with God, you know, that, I mean, with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they wrote theirs to explain what it means to follow Christ. Okay? What it means to follow Christ. But John wrote his gospel to explain what it means to know Christ. Because in those times, a lot of people were even questioning if Jesus was a human being. A lot of people thought he was just a ghost. He wasn't real. Some people didn't think that he was God. They just thought he was a man that died and that was it. So John wrote this gospel of his to show them that he is both man and God. And that is very critical to our own faith walk as well. And so when we look at this, we look at John, and he is, it says that, you know, in the scripture there, it says that he's one of the disciples that Jesus loves. You know, he's the disciple that Jesus loves. Well, actually, Jesus loves them all. But I think he treasured that love very much. And you can see in his word and John's life that God spoke to him and drew him close. He was one of the inner three, of the inner three circle. So with Peter and James and then John. He was also the one that God gave a special revelation, and he's the one that wrote the book of Revelation. So John has all this experience, and his desire is to come to know the Lord. And we'll see that more and more as we go through his word together. And so when we look at 30 and 31, you know, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. And later on, if you see that, they say, man, if we talked about all that, there just wouldn't be enough books in the Bible. The world couldn't be filled. The world would be filled. Be filled with all the books. It's just too much. And then it says here, but these are written. So the ones that he wrote about were written. The miracles and his words were written so that we may believe. Alright? That we may believe. And then it says that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So there's two things that are very important there. All right, there's belief and there's life. And one thing that we're looking at, a couple questions you can have in your mind as we're going through this, hallelujah, is that what is it to taste and see, and what is it to take refuge? All right, so we're going to be looking at that in the context of, let's see if this is working. Oh, it is working. Hallelujah. Let's see if it's good.
Focusing upon true belief. Okay? And then the other part about taking refuge in him is really life. It's salvation. And so we're going to be looking at those two today and see what it means for us. Let's pray before we go on. Father God, thank you for
and Lord, we ask for mercy even now, Lord. And Lord, We just give you the glory and praise for your word. We ask that you'll just speak in a powerful way, that you will just guide us and teach us what you have us to learn today, that your name be glorified in all of us, Lord. So we just thank you, praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all these people say, amen. So tasting and seeing, we already gave you that illustration of the restaurant. And we know, a lot of people say, I know Jesus, I believe God. All right, there's a lot of people out there who say that. There's a lot of people who say that, you know, if you just have faith, things will be okay. So many people say that. But the issue is that a saving faith? Or is that true belief? You see, if you look at the Israelites back in the Exodus when they got out in the desert, they knew God. They saw God. They saw him do all those great wonders in Egypt, the judgments on the Egyptian Pharaoh and the people there. They saw all that. And then they saw God's presence on the mountain just before them in the big cloud, and they heard his voice even. Yet, They believe there's a God. The issue was, they didn't really know him. See, getting to know is a little bit different. That's where you come to the tasting and seeing. You get in that restaurant, and you just look at the menu and listen to the waiter walk out, you don't know how good the food really is or not. Well, the same thing for us. And the same thing what John's teaching is showing us here. He's saying, hey, you know, there is a true belief, because even here in James 2:19 says this, you believe that there is one God.
Powers all down for him.
Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So even the devil knows that there's a God. But he doesn't really care about knowing him. He doesn't want a relationship with him. He doesn't want to taste and see that he's good. He doesn't want any of that. He wants himself. He wants his own agenda. He wants his own kingdom. He wants to be God. Can you see me on that?
Black or
dark over here. Yes, I like it. Maybe we should do this more often. So that, you know, and there's a test. I don't know if you ever read those Dr. Seuss books, but there's one called Green Eggs and Ham. And I always use that with our boys. It never worked, but I said, you know, Green Eggs and Ham, you got to try it. You know, if you don't try it, how do you know if it's really good or not? You know, those green eggs and ham look weird. Come on, taste them. You know, and so if you have the courage to take that step, taste. If you have the humility of the heart to humble yourselves and just quiet yourself and just go and, yes, I will receive it, then things will flow into what's called true belief. Because true belief is putting things into action. It's not only just saying, I believe, but there's something happening in your heart. And then, you know, if you look at the whole Bible, you know, there's tons of information. And the book of John, there's tons of information. It's good. It looks good. It's wonderful. But there's more than just information. It's got the power to transform our lives. And if you really do taste and see, you will experience his power, his word in your life, and you will change. Your priorities will change. The way you think will change. Your words will change. Your actions will change. The things you put first will change. Your whole day schedule will change. That's how he transforms our lives. Because now, as Sam was mentioning in the study this morning, we're so me-focused. It's me, 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 and me. Right? Me, 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 me. Is this on? I don't know. I'll put it on. Hello? Hello? Cambo, is it on? Did that get turned on or something?
Oh, still.
Oh, there we go. All right, thank you. So it's me. But really, what we're supposed to do is really direct our attention to the one who saved us, right? The one who is the one who is the great I am. There's seven I am statements that Jesus claimed.
If that's true or not, until we experience him as the door, as the good shepherd, as the way and the truth and the life, as the resurrection and the life. Right? We got to actually step into a relationship with him. We have to go to the restaurant knowing that we're there for the purpose of eating the cuisine and tasting it. We got to go into his word with the thought and understanding of, Lord, help me understand. Teach me. Make your word come alive in me. I want to be changed. I guarantee you, you pray something like that. Oh my. It's scary. I think Sam's right too. A lot of people don't come to church or a life group or anything else because they're afraid to be changed. We like our little lives. Go home, watch your football game, cry a little if Dallas Cowboys beat you, which will happen, I guarantee you. Don't play them Cowboys. You know what's better? You know what? Just put up the white flag. Put up the white flag. So, but all this is the experience, right? The power of experience, the real experience of getting to know him. True belief comes from that, because now you're touching and you're feeling, you're knowing you're being changed by his word, by his presence, by the power of the Holy Spirit within you, because you say, I believe, and God says, you know, I have, you know, remember now, oh, caution. We can't save ourselves, and belief doesn't come from ourselves. There's a mystery involved in that called faith. It is a salvation faith, but it's by grace only. If you think you're good enough to earn it, if you think there's some ritual you can do to earn it, you are going up the wrong tree. What did I say? Barking up the wrong tree? Climbing up the wrong tree? I forget what it is. Barking up the wrong tree. I guess they're barking at something. So, you know, that type of thing. No, it is a mystery. It is a gift that God has given everybody in this whole world through Christ. It says, believe on me, and I will give you everlasting life. Simple, Jesus. I want to do something. Do something. I want to earn it. I want to carry that big rock. 10 feet. I want to be as good as I can. I want to be handing candy and all these things off to people. I want to give people Dallas Cowboy equipment and all that stuff. I want to be good to you. I want to earn my way. And God's going, no. It's only one way. And see, through this gospel, we're going to learn that one way. And it's through Christ alone. So, taste and believe. Taste and see, and you will believe that the Lord is good. And taking refuge, going back to that reference back there in Psalm 34, and you know, those who, blessed are the ones who take refuge in him. Well, refuge, I don't know if you've ever been through an earthquake. I have. You seek refuge. When your whole world is bouncing up and down or going this way, sideways, you're looking for, well, help. You're looking for a solid doorway or a big table to get under or to get outside. If you're in a thunderstorm and the lightning is just lighting it up and the thunder is just bum, boom, bum, and bum, you know, just rocking your whole world. Well, some people, especially when you're little, you run to your mommy and daddy, right? You're seeking refuge. You know, some of us will slink down in our bed and gonna go cover ourselves. You know, we're seeking a safe place. See, this refuge is salvation. It's life. See, when you are saved into Christ, you have life. And it's not just a life that we live here, but it's more. See, Jesus, he promises us that he will give us life and that even more, an abundant life. as we taste and see that he's good, as we take refuge in him, as he is by his grace salvation comes to our heart. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved when Christ comes back to take us home. So that salvation, that life, is very critical. Taking refuge in Jesus is critical for us to have life. And to take refuge means we need to have a relationship to know that he's even there. If you don't have if you haven't tasted and seen him and felt and just experienced him in his word and how he works in our lives, well, you're not going to seek Jesus when the world is falling apart. I guarantee you, you're not. You're going to be looking for the doorway. You're going to be looking for the big table. You're going to be looking to run out or jump in mom and dad's arms. You're not going to come see Jesus. But if you're seeking real life, and God has given you all this, then you will seek the refuge in him, because now the relationship is building, and you, even through the ups and downs and the scary times and the fun times, he is there, and he invites us into his presence at all times. And you're building that relationship, and then John 3:16 comes alive, doesn't it? You know, he sent his son. He loved the world so much. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. He gave us his son to die for us in our place so that we would not perish, but that what we would have everlasting life. That's taking refuge. Believing and taking refuge. And again, the purpose, it's a good purpose that, you know, is written. He writes this book because so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Anointed One. Remember what Messiah was meant? You know, it's a title, right? The Christ, the Anointed One. He was anointed to come specifically to save us. From ourselves, from ourselves, and from this world, and from the enemy who wants to take us down. Do you remember that picture at the end of 1 Samuel with those bodies of Saul and his sons were hung on the wall? They pinned them up. See, that's Satan, that's devil. He wants to pin us all up on the wall and show us off that, look what I did to you. See, there's many people in this world that haven't even tasted and seen. They go in a restaurant and they don't want it. They don't want to taste and see if the claims of Jesus are true or not, if he really is good. And so their bodies are hanging up on the wall, but then you had those valiant men come up there. Well, you know who the valiant men is, who actually is valiant man. That was Jesus Christ going through that darkness, walking all that way, and he took those bodies off the wall, and that was me, and that was you. He took your body off that wall. You were impaled on that wall, disgraced and lost, hopeless and dead. He came and he saved you. He saved me. He didn't bury me, but he brought me into his life, and I died with him and rose again. He put me under that tamarisk tree, a beautiful tamarisk tree with all the shade to take care of me. And that's what he did. And that's a powerful purpose of what Jesus did. So taste and see. Well, you know what? You can talk all you want, remember? You can listen, and you can read all you want. But you know what? There's a time where you need to get real. Your belief has to become real. And your life, your trust and faith in the Lord has to become real, to where you really get real life. And I'm going to challenge us in this. I'm going to ask our young people, Elliot and Michael, and Cam, Where did Nolan go? Come on up here, guys. I'm gonna pass this out here. This is a schedule of John, the book of John. And what I'm going to have, and as you read this, I'm going to give you some here, and you can go down that way and just make sure everybody, and you keep one for yourself as well. Elliot, I'll give you some of these, and you can go down this area over here. I think I've given you enough. If not, then come back and get some more. Thank you, sir. And Cam, you can take these over there. How's that? And so what this is the book of John in 6 weeks. So starting tomorrow, we don't start today. We start tomorrow. And as we keep it up 42 days through the book of John, you'll end it on, I think it's a Sunday of October 10th. And so I'm going to challenge you, you know, to not just, here's to read, all right? But to more than that, you're going to taste it. Because if you follow what they say over here, you know, you need to get a book. You got to get some paper, or you got to get a notebook. And you're going to read that verse tomorrow. It says from John 1 to 125. So John, first chapter of John 1 to 25. You read that, and then what you're going to do, they follow this SOAP. It says S-O-A-P. There's scripture here, and it says look for one verse that particularly stands out and write it in your journal or write it on your notebook or whatever. Write it on your forehead. All I care. All right? That's what I'd do. I'd print it on your forehead. Thank you. And then an observation is, what do you think God is saying in the scripture? So just think about it. You can write that down, pray about it. And then the application part is just write how God is showing you that the scripture can be applied to your life now. Thank you, sir. Did a good job, guys. So you guys got one too, right? Elliot, Michael, Cam, you keep one. All right. Thank you, guys. Good help. Appreciate it. And then at the end there, it says pray. Pray about it. Pray before. I ask you this. Pray before you read that scripture and ask the Lord to open your heart and give you a mind to grasp what he has to teach you. Okay? Don't do it on your own strength, because you're not going to get anything. All right? Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to make it come alive to you. Then go through this every day. I know it's going to be challenging. You go, oh, but I got this and I got that today. Well, then, hey, maybe at 12 at night, 12 midnight, you're just going to have to go, oh, I got to do this. Or maybe at 5 in the morning, oh, I got to do it. Or maybe at 3 in the afternoon, oh, I got some time. Oh, I'll do it now. And maybe you don't want to do it alone. So you got somebody, a good friend of yours next to you or something like that. I say, hey, let's do this together. Okay. That could be done too, or you can group together even more. But I'm going to ask you to go through this. This is a challenge. And you might, and at the end of the 42 days, you might, some of you might have, oh, I did 3 of them. Woo! You know, but you did 3. It's better than none, right? But it also shows you where your life is right now, too. I'm challenging you. Did you notice that? I'm trying to bring you out of this world, because if you think you're a citizen of this world, you're wrong. See, if you're a follower of Christ, you are no longer a part of this world. You're not a citizen of this world. You're a citizen of heaven, the kingdom of God, the greatest kingdom of all that never passes away. So I'm going to challenging you to show you where you are at. Because if you do half of these, okay, that might be all right. I'm not giving you a grade, but you're evaluating your own life. Where are your priorities? Where are your priorities? And then ask God's mercy and keep going. Yeah. God's not going to go, oh, you only did 2, Betty. Kick! You're out of here! I would. If you're on my team, you only showed up 2 times. Hey, see that over there? Get out of there! See that tree? Sit up there. You know, that's what I would do. You know, we're supposed to, you know, if I'm your football coach, you got to be there. You're not there, what happens? What happens if you're not there, Elliot? Shoot. You keep it up. You're off the team, boy. But God doesn't do that. He goes, this is where you are with me. Come and sit at my feet and taste and see that I am good. Be the one who is blessed, who takes refuge in me. And I guarantee you, he's going to transform your lives. And wherever you go, the kingdom of God is going with you. And you're going to impact your family's lives. You're going to impact your friends' lives, your coworkers' lives. You're going to be impacting people you don't even know. Because this transforming spirit, little things he doesn't do. He does big things. We don't even know. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word and for the hope and challenge, Lord. I'm taking the challenge myself. And so, Father, I pray that you'll cause the word to come alive in us, that it'll become refreshing to our hearts, that it'll be powerful and vibrant in our lives, that it'll be refreshing to us, renewing. Lord God, may we be your people, your disciples, your children, sitting at your feet and tasting and seeing that you are good and just enjoying being wrapped up in your arms through the good times, through the hard times, just to know that you're always our refuge. And we just thank you for that. We give you the praise and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all his people say, amen.